Since it is Father's Day, before we get into the actual sermon, I'm going to read some verses that have to do with fathers this morning. Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. In Proverbs 3:11-12, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Deuteronomy 1:29-31, then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. Ephesians 6:1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I've got a little poem here that kind of says it all about fathers. Fathers are wonderful people, too little understood, and we do not sing their praises as often as we should. For somehow, father seems to be the man who pays the bills while mother binds up little hurts and nurses all our ills. And father struggles daily to live up to his image as protector and provider and hero o'er the scrimmage. And perhaps that is the reason we sometimes get the notion that fathers are not subject to the thing we call emotion. But if you look inside dad's heart where no one else can see, you'll find he's sentimental and as soft as he can be. But he's so busy every day in the grueling race of life, he leaves the sentimental stuff to his partner and his wife. But fathers are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolade of praise. For the only reason dad aspires to fortune and success is to make the family proud of him and to bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he is a guardian and a guide, someone that we can count on to always be on our side. I thought that was pretty good. That kind of tells it all about fathers. I'm going to be reading from Romans 5:1-11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies and we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here's a neat little story about a vacation Bible school. 6-year-olds, and the teacher was talking about Jonah and the whale. And they kind of got into this discussion about what would you do if a whale swallowed you? And of course, they got some typical neat little answers. I'd start a fire in the whale's stomach and he'd cough me out. Another one said, I'd stomp on his tongue till he spit me out. Then suddenly a little girl spoke up. She said, I'd call my daddy and wait till he come got me. And that's a young lady that is very fortunate. She's got a daddy that she knows she can trust and that loves her and she loves him. And that's what Father's Day is all about today. We're celebrating dads and granddads and even possibly great-granddads because they do take care of us. We know that we can generally count on dad to be there for us, whether it be someone to talk to, someone to help us through a situation, or maybe loan us a little bit of money or whatever, dads always seem to be there. Here are some ways you can tell if you're a father. You know you're a father if you find a mutant ninja turtle in your briefcase and you take it around the office for show and tell. You know you're a father if you find a clean house when you come home from work and think you must be in the wrong one. Now we're talking about kids cleaning the house, not moms, so don't. You know you're a father when you take a client to lunch and automatically ask for a booster seat. You know you're a father when you put your wife in the back seat and fasten her seatbelt for her. You know you're a father when you keep fighting the urge to wipe somebody's mouth with your shirt tail. And I'm sure the fathers here can relate to some of those. But one of the sad things in a father's situation, a father's life, is a wayward child. We get heartbroken sometimes. We have a wayward child. And God, being the ultimate father, looks at us sometimes, his children, as being wayward children. And especially if you look around today in society, less and less people are going to church. More people seem to have other things to do. They don't want to take the time to pray or read the Bible or do any of those kinds of things. We are becoming a society of wayward children. So much so that nearly 1 million teenage girls become pregnant each year. The suicide rate for teens has doubled in the past 30 years. Teenage arrests have increased by 3,000% since 1950. And the leading cause of death among 15 to 19-year-old minority youth, it's not drugs, is murder. They are killing each other. Almost 500,000 students are dropping out of high school every year, and perhaps twice that figure are being allowed to graduate, although they can scarcely read their names. And can you imagine more than 50 million Americans continue to smoke? AIDS has almost reached epidemic proportion on our small planet. According to the World Health Organization, there could be 6 million cases of AIDS in the world, and as many as 3 times that amount could be infected with the HIV virus. It's a scary world we live in. It is a world where we wonder what's going on. And you can just imagine God is sitting in his throne in heaven thinking, why? Why are they doing this? But he also sits there and he thinks, I wish they would straighten out and come back to me. He's always waiting for you to come back to him. Just like dad stands at the doorstep or sits in the chair in the front room in the dark waiting for you to come home. And he's always fearing getting that phone call that says, Dad, I'm in jail. You need to come bail me out. Or, Dad, I just wrecked the car. Or any other tragic things. Dads think about stuff like that when their teenage children are out doing the things that they do. We worry about them. Because sometimes our youth today don't think about consequences. They don't think about the things that they are doing before they do them. In fact, there was a story of a couple of teenagers. One died, the other lost a leg because they were shooting rifle shots into a construction company's dynamite shed. They were not thinking about the consequences. And you have to wonder sometimes, why didn't they learn better? And I know God's not up there trying to find ways to punish us. I tell you that all the time. He's not a cosmic cop waiting to catch us doing something. God loves us. He wants to do good things for us. But sometimes I wonder, with AIDS being such a terrible way to die and some of the other things, HIV, that we see in society today, is God maybe trying to slap us upside the head and say, guys, wait. You need to change the way you're doing things. We need to quit sharing needles and doing drugs and all the different things that cause AIDS to spread. And I know some of it's innocent stuff, but for the most part, it is caused by the people that are doing it. And maybe that is God's way of saying, wake up, people, and trying to straighten them out. Or we see somebody having a few too many drinks and getting in their car and changing their lives and maybe some other lives. Those kinds of things should wake us up. And as parents, we try desperately to make our children understand those kinds of things. Dads try to provide for their children, try to teach their children in Christian ways, and we need Christian daddies today more than we've ever needed Christian daddies. Daddies that would lay down their lives for their children, that would do anything for their children. But just like God, daddies wait at home expecting that wayward child to come back home. And we all know the parable of the prodigal son, how he went off and blew all that money and then came crawling back to dad. Dad didn't look down on him. Dad didn't get on to him for having blown all that. Dad ran to him, hugged him, kissed his neck, and put a robe on him and a ring on his finger and loved him. Dad was waiting for him to come back. And God is waiting for us to come back. He's waiting for us as a society to come back to Christianity, to come back to Him. There was a woman laying in the hospital dying of AIDS. And that's a terrible way to die. There was a priest there with her trying to comfort her. And she looked at the priest and she said, "I am lost. I ruined my life and every life around me. Now I go painfully to hell. There is no hope for me." The priest looked at her and looked around the room, and he noticed there was a framed picture of a beautiful young lady on the dresser next to her. And so he asked, "Who is this?" And the woman kind of lit up a little bit, and she said, "That's my daughter, the one beautiful thing in my life." And the priest said, "And would you help her if she was in trouble or made a mistake? Would you forgive her? Would you still love her?" "Of course I would," cried the woman. "I would do anything for her. Why do you ask such a silly question?" "Because I want you to know," said the priest, "that God has a picture of you on His dresser. God loves us, would do anything for us, would forgive us for any mistake, because He sees everything about us, down to the hairs of our head. He knows us, and He's waiting for us to come back to Him." There was a man who had this continual dream about God chasing him with a piece of paper in his hand. Kind of a strange dream. But one day the man gave himself to Christ and got pardoned for his sins. And he thought back on that dream. He thought, "You know, God wasn't chasing me with an arrest warrant or a way to punish me. God was chasing me with a pardon." And that's our God. That's our ultimate Father. He forgives all, loves all, cares about all of us. Dads are like that here on earth. And there are a lot of things that can damage a family. Parents can be hurt, children can be hurt. But there's always a hope in a home where there is forgiveness, in a home where we can feel the love. On the sixth day, God created Father Adam and Mother Eve. On the seventh day, as God was resting, they asked Him if He would give them something special to commemorate their birthday. So God reached into His treasure chest, took out a sacred coin, and written on it was "Love" in big, bold letters. On the eighth day, Father Adam and Mother Eve sinned. And as they left the Garden of Eden, they asked God for an assurance that He would not abandon them. You have the coin, he told them. But the coin says love. We have lost love. However will we find it again? Turn it over, God said. On the other side of the coin was written the word forgiveness in big bold letters. God loves us and he forgives us for all things. From time to time we hear about terrible things that happen in families where a child is wayward enough where dad doesn't even want to claim him anymore. And that's a tragedy. That is a terrible tragedy. But God is not like that. God never gets to that point. He's always there, no matter what happens, no matter how terrible a thing we might have done. He's always there, loving and forgiving. James Moore tells about a little boy who got in trouble one day. His dad ran a grocery store, and he'd been saving up for a car. He finally had the opportunity to buy this 1928 Buick. Beautiful car. And his young son, David, used to like to drive the car around the yard a little bit. He thought that was kind of neat. So he kind of got used to driving it. One day, his mom said she needed to go to town to get something. And so David got all excited, and he ran out to the garage to get in the car and bring it to his mom. But he was so excited, he forgot to close the door. And when he backed up, he ripped the door off the side of the car. With a thud, it hit the ground. And he thought, oh dear, Dad's going to kill me. He's just going to whoop me up one side and down the other. And I'm sure we've all been in a situation similar to that, maybe not quite that bad, but Mom was not happy when she saw the car. And she was going to tell Dad all about it when he got home. I'm sure some of us remember, wait till your dad gets home. So he was pretty upset. Didn't want to eat. Didn't have any appetite. Wasn't going to sit down to dinner. Mom told Dad about what happened. And she said, and he said back to her, well, you're right, Ruby. The car is precious to me, but not as precious as David. And just as you said, he didn't really mean to do it. He was trying to help. And we can get the car fixed. The main thing is nobody got hurt. He's our son, and he must feel awful right about now. We just need to love him through this. That young boy David became Dr. D.L. Dykes, a great preacher of our day. And he remembers that episode to this very day. He said, Mom interceded for me and Dad forgave me. The way my parents responded that day touched me more deeply than I could ever describe. I learned from them that day something of what God is like. I learned from them that day that the meaning of grace, and it is indeed amazing. So do our children know about the love, the amazing grace? Are we showing them that? There is no greater pain than a wayward child, but there is no greater love than a dad who waits at the door, praying and hoping they will come home. And we wait, and we pray, and if necessary, we forgive. And out of it all, we discover a little bit about what God is all about. St. Paul sums it up in what we read earlier today. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for the good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that sums the whole thing up. We were wayward children back then. He tried over and over to straighten us out. And he finally sent his son to be tortured and crucified to save us. That is how much our Father in heaven loves us. And I would be willing to venture that our good Christian dads here on earth would do anything to show forgiveness and love to his children. Amen.